So today the speaker is His Grace Ram Vidhari Prabhu. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Preeti Lasni Mataji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, she is trying to connect Ram Giridhari Prabhu, but she is not able to connect.
Okay, Mataji, no problem.
Yeah. We can chant.
Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, I'm just trying to get Prabhuji on the line. So if everyone can just be, can wait for like a few more minutes, it will be helpful. We'll just get him on the line as soon as possible.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Today we are reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mati Lila, chapter 20, text number 174. Vaibhava Prakasha Krishna Sri Balarama Varna Matra Veda Sabha Krishna Samana. Translation. The first manifestation of the Vaibhava feature of Krishna is Sri Balaramji. Sri Balarama and Krishna have different bodily colors, but otherwise Sri Balarama is equal to Krishna in all respects. Purport. To understand the difference between Swayam Rupa, Pratekatma Rupa, Avesha, Prabhava and Vaibhava, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given the following description. In the beginning, Krishna has three bodily features. Number one, Swayam Rupa as a cowherd boy in Vrindavana. Number two, Tadekatma Rupa, which is divided into Swam Saka and Vilasa. And number three, Avesha Rupa. The Swam Saka or expansions of the personal potency are Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, Garbodaka Sai, Shirodaka Sai. And two incarnations such as the fish, tortoise, boar, and Nrisingha. The Vilasa Rupa has Prabhava division, including Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. There is also a Vaibhava division in which there are 24 forms, including the second Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna. And Aniruddha. For each of these, there are 12 forms altogether. These 12 forms constitute the predominant make hymns for the 12 months of the year, as well as the 12 tilaka marks on the body. Each of the four personalities of God expands into two other forms. Thus, there are eight forms, such as Purushottama, Achyuta, etc. The four forms, Vasudeva, etc., the 12 Keshava, etc., and the eight Purushottama, all together constitute 24 forms. The forms are differently named in accordance with the placement of the weapons they hold in their four hands. Hare Krishna, since I'm on a pretty poor connection, just want to be surely sure that if I'm on the call and I'm being audible to everybody. Can somebody?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you. It's a little bit muffled, but it's okay. Maybe speak a little bit louder. Maybe that might help.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
A little bit louder, that will help.
Okay. Okay. I'll try to be.
No, that's okay, Prabhu. You can go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Om Nato Magyanati Mivandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Takshuran Militam Vena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we are discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila chapter 20 text number 174. This is the chapter where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami on the process of Bhakti Yoga. So we are in a very core portion of our Siddhanta, wherein Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained about the Lord's expansions and Lord's all-pervading nature, and about how he go about in maintaining the entire universe. So it all began where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained about Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan feature, and initially gave an explanation on Brahman and Paramatma, and while describing about Bhagavan feature, so he is very nicely and elaborately describing that. So this particular set of series from the set of series, the shloka from the last few shlokas onwards, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining about the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. When he's explaining about the Bhagavan feature, he is talking about how the Supreme Lord go about expanding himself and maintaining in all of us. Krishna consciousness is all about understanding the transcendental nature of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to Janma Karma Chame Divyam, he says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yovedi Tatvataha Atva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti Suvarjuna. So, the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness is about understanding the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes, when we read through the wonderful nature of Krishna's appearance, when Krishna's leela and his interaction with his devotees, it is very important for us to understand the superlative nature of Krishna. So Prabhupada very right in that sloka. So he mentioned that if somebody with the help of a bona fide spiritual master understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and Krishna's activities, he will not be able to come back again. He will not take birth again in this material world. So, what the transcendental nature about it? It is about Krishna the Supreme. How he is supreme, how he is expanding his Leela in various forms. So when he is expanding these various forms, he is explaining, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita that his appearance and his activities are accessible only to his dear devotees. And in that point in time we become the Lord's devotee, we won't be able to even come closer to understand the leela of the Lord. So for us, in this process of Krishna consciousness, we even get to the subject matter where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Radha Goswami the transcendental nature. We need to first become devotees of the Lord. So long as we get into the shoes of devotees, Krishna very clearly explains to Arjuna that he is inaccessible. So, we are going to have some set of reflections today. One of the reflections that we are going to have is about how Krishna is past
yeah, go ahead though.
I was trying to say that how Krishna is simultaneously partial and at the same important for us to understand this aspect of Krishna being impartially partial and partially impartial, in a sense that when Krishna is trying to give this knowledge to Arjuna, that my dear Arjuna, you need to follow this process of devotional service, and if you follow this process of devotional service, manmana bhava madbhakto madhyati mam namaskuru. So by offering your obeisances, by remembering about me, by surrendering unto me, you will eventually come to me. So this offer is made to everybody. Each and every devotee is given this offer. And each and everyone who is reading Bhagavad Gita is made to hear this instruction of Krishna. But those who are following this advice of the Supreme Lord are able to understand the Bhagavan nature. Once Srila Prabhupada was addressing a group of assembly members, so there were lot of speakers were called for that assembly. So Srila Prabhupada was one of the main speakers. Then along with Srila Prabhupada, there were other speakers too. And when the speakers were scheduled to speak, first Prabhupada gave a class, and after Prabhupada finished speaking the class, so Prabhupada was given a seat, and there was another speaker who was a Mayavadi Sannyasi. So when he was giving the Bhagavatam class, he was giving his address. So this person was speaking for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, or maybe, half an hour. So Prabhupada was patiently sitting and hearing the class. And after half an hour, when the speaker started to speak, offending the transcendental position of the Supreme Lord, Srila Prabhupada could not control himself. So Srila Prabhupada told his disciple, let's stop this class. So Bhujan Prabhu was accompanying Prabhupada. So he wasn't sure, what to do now, because this is a very large assembly. Srila Prabhupada was in the dais along with all the others. And Srila Prabhupada has asked his disciple to stop the class. Now, if the situation is whether to follow Srila Prabhupada or what to do. So Bhujan Prabhu wasn't so sure, so he went back to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, you want to tell how are we supposed to do this? So Srila Prabhupada says, start the kirtan, something like that. So this he was explaining during Srila Prabhupada's disappearance in Vrindavan. Maybe I'm not chronologically, explaining the whole thing. But the main point that Bhujan Prabhu was explaining is Srila Prabhupada has such a personality that he wanted to educate everyone about the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he wanted to make sure each and every one of us understands. So Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti satyate. So you want to establish how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how our duty is to go back home, back to Godhead, and we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So in our journey of Krishna consciousness, understanding Krishna as Bhagavan is one step. But upper understanding in our life, in our thinking, willing and feeling, is extremely important, and with that application, we should also win more and more souls to come to that process of Krishna consciousness. So over here, Srila Prabhu is very elaborately explaining about Swamsa, Vibhinnamsa, and different forms of transcendental nature of Krishna, different expansions. And here, Srila Prabhupada goes again in explaining about the supreme nature of Balaramji and how different forms of Vishnu has got different symbols in the way they hold. So these technical information are very much relevant, very much to be known when we have to dive deep into our Krishna consciousness. How does it matter whether Krishna holds this club in the right hand or left hand, so long as the Supreme Lord? So many of us may skip this aspect of it. So that is the reason Krishna explains that the Janma karma chave divyam evam yogeti tatvataha as they are. The reason very elaborately this knowledge has been given is because there are so many unscrupulous men. There are so many bogus personalities. There are so many people who come and talk about the Supreme Lord without even having to have a slightest understanding of who Krishna is. So our first reflection is about that for us to understand the Supreme Lord, we need to become devotees. Till the point that we become devotees of the Lord, Krishna does not reveal himself. Krishna does not give himself. And the subset of that point is that simultaneously Krishna is impartial and he is partial as well. The partiality is because of our choice to surrender to Krishna, and the impartial nature of Krishna is about he is making this offer to everyone. So it is like offer is made to everyone, but those who avail the offer, they get a special bonus. They get a special benefit of getting closer to Krishna. It is like if you go to a multi-millionaire and if you ask him for 1,000 rupees, it is not a very good deal. If you ask him for 2,000 rupees, 10,000 rupees, if you ask him for even big amount of money, it may not be of much interest because he may even give. But if you ask him the entire wealth, if you ask him, it is only possible for the multi-millionaire's son. Because a son can inherit father's property without a question. Similarly for us, when we become the sincere devotee of the Lord, we naturally derive the pleasure and blessing of becoming closer to Krishna to an extent that Krishna reveals every bit of him to his dear devotees. So, this is reflection number one. Reflection number two is what Jananda Maharaj says that. He said that for us to make progress in this realization, for us to make necessary progress in Krishna consciousness, it is extremely important that we need to follow a process to get to that stage. Because theoretically we all know that it is that by the mercy of Krishna we get to know him. And it is by the mercy of spiritual master we get to know Krishna. And by the mercy of, the causeless mercy, we come in contact with spiritual master. So Jananda Maharaj was telling that for us to get to the real crux of the Siddhanta that is spoken about in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a prelude that we are expected to follow. And he mentioned that so long as we are not becoming spiritual and we are only being ritual, we can't understand this transcendental nature of Krishna's expansion. So he was explaining about religiosity versus spirituality, ritual versus spiritual. So what I was trying to say is that when Krishna is explaining about Bhagavan nature, when Krishna is trying to reveal himself, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is explaining about the transcendental nature of Bhagavan, this Bhagavan aspect is revealed only when we are spiritual, not when we are ritual. The reason is sometimes we consider ourselves a devotee and start to, claim credit. But please note that claiming credit is part of our ritual nature, sentimental nature. By being spiritual, we give all the credit to the Supreme Lord and his dear devotees. So the second reflection is about for us to dive deep into this aspect of Siddhanta. We'll come to this particular purport and also this particular context. But I just want to give a background and my reflection on understanding the Bhagavan nature of the Lord. Because that is a specialty from this Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. In Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, we know Krishna is Bhagavan. We know that the transcendental Supreme Lord Bhagavan is captivated and is drawn towards Srimati Radharani, and we also know that Srimati Radharani and Krishna combined is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who bestows the pure love of Godhead. So this knowledge is not so easily available. Even if it is, you know, spoken about, it is very difficult to understand. So the second reflection is about the ritualistic versus spiritualistic, religiosity versus Sanatana Dharma, and it's about sentimental versus science. So to establish the scientific nature of this Krishna consciousness also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes in detail. It is not that we have some sentiments, it is not that we are sentimentally attached to the Supreme Lord, that we are talking about Krishna, Krishna. No, we talk about the Krishna consciousness science. What we are currently wobbling or struggling with is about our body, mind, sense, intelligence. But for those who are surrendered to Krishna, what do they do? They understand about various aspects of Krishna's existence, various forms of the Supreme Lord, how glorious the Lord's nature is, how beautiful the Lord is, how powerful the Lord is, how glorious the Lord is. And so many expressions and wonderful things have been explained, because if you have to be spiritualistic, if you have to be following Sanatana Dharma, and if you have to understand this as a science, so we better understand it in tatvatvataha, not sentimentally. So Yamanda Maharaj was very nicely explaining that Krishna consciousness is not a ritual movement. Krishna consciousness is a spiritual movement. Krishna consciousness is not about sentiment. Krishna consciousness is about science. Krishna consciousness is not about religiosity. It is about Sanatana Dharma. And he gave a fantastic explanation of what is spiritual meaning. He said, he split the word spiritual into two parts. One part is S-P-I and the second part is ritual. He mentioned, so long as a person does not follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, if we remove S-P-I from the word spiritual, what is left out is rituals. So he was explaining, in this Krishna consciousness process, for us to be spiritually surcharged, so we need to be following Srila Prabhupada's instructions to be spiritual. If you do not follow SPI, Srila Prabhupada's instruction, and if you remove SPI from the word spiritual, what is left out is just a ritual. And Krishna is not a real ritualistic person. Krishna is not surrendered to sentiments. Krishna is not giving him in himself for those who are trying to be self-centered. Krishna is, you know, revealing himself to those personalities. Sanatana Goswami commanded that position for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reveal himself. So this revelation by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami is such a blessing that because they became a patra, because they became a personalities to receive Mahaprabhu's mercy, and through their mercy, we are receiving Krishna's mercy. And we are receiving Mahaprabhu's mercy. So the second reflection in this particular shloka is about explaining how we need to differentiate between being ritualistic versus spiritualistic. And this is a subset of the first point, which is about understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and which is about the transcendental nature of the Lord, and understanding Bhagavan as Tattvataha. So, SPI, Srila Prabhupada's instruction, is needed for us to be spiritually connected. The third reflection is something that I have been, meditating on since yesterday evening, because I am in Srilingam now. So, when I was thinking about the transcendental nature of Krishna consciousness, in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we sometimes go to Krishna and pray to him and ask him, my dear Lord, why are you not revealing yourself? Why are you not, showing your mercy upon me? Is it that, you are inaccessible, or we have so many such prayers. Incidentally, I was listening to a song. In that song, it is supposed to be one of the famous songs glorifying, the Supreme Lord. In that, it is said, "Why are you hurting me? Why are you not giving your blessings upon me?" And that whoever has composed the song is, in a very prayerful mood singing that. But they are not from a Vaishnava Acharyas. They are from a very, very famous popular song. And the song is so popular about glorifying Krishna. And sometimes when we hear such songs and prayers, we get carried away saying that, "Wow, I am also praying to Krishna." But in their song, half of them is about insulting the Supreme Lord. The reason is, in that song it said, "My dear Krishna, you are deceiving me by not coming in front of me. You are deceiving me by not giving your blessings upon me. You are deceiving me by not being kind upon me. And please be kind upon me." So like that the song was, played. And if you actually reflect, the point was that Krishna is not deceiving. Krishna is ready to reveal. We are not ready to receive it. So, because of our not being ready, the process is being recommended because of our we not latching onto it. Because of we embracing Maya, we going and telling Krishna that you are not revealing yourself to us is actually very wrong understanding. One spiritual master, he was coming to give Srimad Bhagavatam class. When he came to give Srimad Bhagavatam class, in the class he was explaining about how we are attached to Maya and how we are so much less gratifying. We have to be careful about it. So the disciples, mentioned that, Gurudev, actually we are very sincere. It is Maya who is attacking us. We are very sincere. It is Maya who is trying to trap us. It is that Maya who is trying to devour us. So the spiritual master was thinking, and so I'll explain about this tomorrow, and he left for the day. So the next day morning, when the spiritual master came for giving Bhagavatam class, at that time, he did not come and sit in the Vyasasana. So when he came and embraced a pillar in that, in that mandapam, in the hall, and all the disciples were wondering why the spiritual master is, embracing himself to a pillar of the building. So all the disciples told, "Spiritual master, come and give the class." And the Gurudev said, no, "the pillar won't leave us." And, no, "but you are holding the pillar, Gurudev, please come and give Bhagavatam class." So, Gurudev said, "No, the pillar is not letting me go." So all the disciples got up and thought something is wrong. So they went and removed both the hands of the Gurudev to be relieved from his, embrace. So as soon as both the hands were removed, he tied with his both the legs and he kept on doing this again and again. The disciples thought that Gurudev is acting very funny. Then after a few minutes of this, activity, the Gurudev came and said to the Vyasasana and said, "Like the way you are complaining, it is not the pillar who is embracing me, it is me who is embracing the pillar. Similarly, it is the Maya who is coming and attacking us. We are embracing Maya. Hence, beware of her. Otherwise, you will not be able to cross over the ocean of me signs." And he said one single point. He said, the easiest and the best way to cross over this Maya is the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, because the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord is a boat which can help us cross over the ocean of designs. And when demigods, when they were offering this prayer to Mother Devaki, Mother Devaki was in the jail, and when they were offering their prayers to Mother Devaki to console her, so they mentioned this point. The lotus feet of Krishna is so nice, so sublime, that anyone who takes shelter of the Lord's lotus feet It is like sitting in a boat which can help cross over the ocean of nescience. So to help cross over the ocean of nescience, you just come to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. All you have to do is that just surrender to the lotus feet, then the boat will automatically take you cross over the ocean of nescience. And Srila Prabhupada explains that how does this happen? And Srila Prabhupada mentions a very important point that how this Lord's lotus feet is like a boat which can help cross over the ocean of desires. And when he explains this point, he mentions that actually there are people who may question that if the boat is carrying people from one side of the ocean, the other side of the ocean, people may say that if the ocean is crossed, if the boat is helping to cross over the ocean of nescience, who is bringing back the boat to this side of the ocean? So, Prabhupada, if you read the Krishna book, second chapter, you'll know this, point. So, that's where he says that this boat is so sublime that anybody who sits in the boat, unlike other boat where the boat needs to travel, the moment somebody surrenders to the lotus feet of Krishna, the entire ocean of nescience gets shrinked to the size of the calf's hoof print, that there is no requirement for somebody to even sail the ocean. It will just jump forward. So the boat is so powerful that anybody who takes shelter of the Lord's lotus feet can cross over the ocean of nescience, because the ocean will get shrinked to the size of a calf's hoof print. So the point of presentation here is that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, in understanding the Bhagavan nature of the Lord, one other misunderstanding or one other perception or one other ideology that we derive because of our extended association with sentimental nature is that we start questioning, oh my dear Lord, I understood you as Supreme Lord, but I need your mercy. Why are you cruel to me? Why are you not revealing to me? Why are you not helping to me? Why are you not supporting me? Such types of prayers, such types of, statements towards the Supreme Lord also explains that we are not understanding Bhagavan as he is. Now coming to this particular shloka. So with these three reflections, we want to establish, or I want to just explain this nature of Bhagavan and how we need to position ourselves to understand the Bhagavan nature of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada's utmost contribution in our devotional life is to make us understand this Bhagavan nature of the Lord. And so long as we understand this, our spiritual journey will remain incomplete only. So I'll just mention these three points that we just discussed now before I share my last set of points about this particular shloka that we just read today. The first point that I want to say was that Krishna is partially impartial and impartially partial. So what I want to say is that Krishna reveals himself as Bhagavan, the transcendental nature of Bhagavan, only to devotees and not anybody else. So for us to understand the Bhagavan nature of the Lord, for us to really understand who the Supreme Lord is, we need to become devotees of the Lord. Till that point in time, all we will be doing is only trying to catch up there. So Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita that, Arjuna, I am sharing all these things to you because you are my dear devotee. And Srila Prabhupada writes, hence, even though Krishna was in this planet, not everybody could understand Krishna as Supreme Personal of Godhead. Only certain devotees could understand. So for us to understand these wonderful explanations about Bhagavan, it is our good fortune that we are the Sangha of devotees. That's why these are all being shared. So we being a devotee is imperative for us to understand Bhagavan nature. And point number two is that it is extremely important for us not to be ritualistic, not to be sentimental, and not to be, religious. It is extremely important for us to be spiritual, extremely important for us to understand this is a science. Prabhupada says that this is Sanatana Dharma. And the Sanatana Dharma nature of it is very nicely explained about being spirituality means following the instructions of the spiritual master, and with that following, we will become a devotee, and with that devotional nature, we will understand the Bhagavan nature of the Lord. And the third reflection that I want to, you know, say is that for us, in the process of even being a devotee, because of our nature-ish nature, sometimes we may question the Bhagavan nature in a sense of Krishna being a person who did not provide the knowledge to us because of our nature of fault-finding, because of the nature of our nature-ish understanding. But Prabhupada very clearly states that it is not the Krishna who does not reveal himself. It is Krishna who is constantly available to reveal himself. It is us who, by the, you know, grace of Maya and sense gratification, we get carried away. So in that process, Srila Prabhupada explains the only way us to get rid of Maya is to take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, which means take shelter of the person who takes shelter of Lord's lotus feet, because when we sit in that boat, it helps us cross over the ocean of designs. So, this particular part of explaining Krishna's Bhagavan nature is extremely needed, because Srila Prabhupada is very particular for all of us devotees to not be having any sentimental thoughts about Krishna. I have my personal reservations. Sometimes devotees, you know, we offer, when we buy a new car, when we buy a new house, when we buy anything new, we need to offer to Krishna, but our offering should not be from the perspective that this is, I bought it and I offered to Krishna. We need to develop an understanding that there is only two truths in this world. One is Krishna, like it is Krishna's, and we all need to understand that we are caretaker. Now let us come to this particular shloka, where Srila Prabhupada talks about the different vaibhava feature and different wonderful expansions about the Supreme Lord. So there are two points from this purport that I want to share. So that put together, we have five reflections from this shloka. So the first point that I want to say about this feature is about the transcendental nature of Balaramji. So Prabhupada explains that actually speaking, there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. In Hindi, there is a usage called Unnis Bees. It's a very, you know, very colloquial, you know, Hindi conversation that the Unnis Bees ka farak hai, which means there's a difference between 19 and 20. It's like a small difference. So whenever we talk about Krishna and Balaram, so technically there is no difference because they are both Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one person is the avatari, other person is avatar. It's not even an avatar. Actually, Krishna is an avatari first, and Balaram is the immediate expansion of Krishna. So this nature of Balaramji being equal to Krishna is very important and unique. And while explaining about this Balaram nature, Prabhupada explains, Balaram being an immediate expansion of Krishna, he actually controls, maintains, facilitates all the devotees to come closer to Krishna. So Balaram, even though is Krishna himself, but he is in the rasa of winning everybody to come to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So whatever we discussed so far, in terms of taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's instruction, trying to become a devotee, they are all possible with the mercy of Balaram, because Balaram is the one who helps us to come closer to Krishna, to practice Krishna consciousness. Balaram being Krishna himself in one form, but he is staying in the mood of Adi Guru. That is why Balaram is considered as eternal spiritual master for anyone who wants to make their journey in Krishna consciousness. So this, in the next few shloka, there are more details about Krishna's Bhagavan feature is going to be explained. I technically took a turn on explaining the Bhagavad feature to a scientific way rather than explaining the Siddhanta which Mahaprabhu is talking about in terms of Swamsa, Vibhinnamsa, Ekatma Rupa, Avesha, Prabhava, Vaibhava, Shyam Rupa, Swayam Rupa. So all these things are definitely important, but from a technical understanding and relieving the misconception perspective, it's extremely important for us to get to this foundation. I'm sure there are more mature speakers who will be to delineate on the other Leela aspects of the Supreme Lord. So the first point what I want to say in this particular shloka was about Balaramji being an Adi Guru. Balaramji has a mood of trying to win everybody to Krishna's lotus feet. So when Balaramji is trying to win everybody to Krishna's lotus feet, it is of his personal interest so that we all become practitioners and followers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and eventually be Krishna conscious. The second part that I want to mention about in this purport, just statement is that all these wonderful expansions, of Garbho the Kasaya Vishnu, Karana the Kasaya Vishnu, Shino the Kasaya Vishnu, all these, different forms of Vishnu, Narsingha, Varaha, all the wonderful Leelas, and this one expansion, Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, Vishnu, Masrudina, Tarikrama, Vampana, Shidra, Shikesa, Madhunaba, Damodara, all those, all these expansions, because it is one core aspect. Krishna is doing all these things in every bit of these names. That is the uniqueness where he is expanding for only one purpose. That purpose is to please his devotees. And to please his devotees, he in turn gets pleased. So all these 24 forms, either to please his devotees or to protect his devotees. So once in Padma Puran, there is a conversation between Arjuna and Krishna. So when explaining about this transcendental nature about creation, Krishna is talking to Arjuna. He says, "My dear Arjuna, this entire universe may be created by me, but I am existing by my devotees present in my life. Sun may be, existing because of me, the nature may be existing because of me, but the entire universe may be because of me, but I am existing only because of my devotees." So the point that I want to say is, when I read through all these wonderful names, all these expansions, Krishna has to do it. One is to please the devotees and in turn get pleased, and protect the devotees and in turn tell the whole world how Krishna is very dear to the devotees. Even though Krishna has his own purpose of doing his leela, but he wants to do the leela with his devotees only. So the goal is to please them and in turn get pleased. Rather than forgetting pleasing, he uses them. So the point that I want to drive here is that all these 24 forms and expansions and all the different angas of Krishna's manifestation is about how the Lord is dear to his devotees and the Lord wants to protect his devotees. So, to conclude back to the whole point, we started with, for understanding Bhagavan, we need to be a devotee. And for us to be a devotee, we need to be spiritual. And for us to be spiritual, we should not be sentimental. For us to be not sentimental, we should take blessings of Balaramji and take Balaram and Adi Guru and spiritual master's support. We will become a devotee again. And when we become devotee, then we understand God. So this whole 5 point is a circle. So for us to become God conscious, for us to go back home, back to Godhead, there's only one single purpose, which is we become devotees to understand the entire Siddhanta. With this, I end my, you know, thoughts on this particular shloka. Once again, I express my sincere apologies for joining in late. I had to travel to South India, and I thought I would have a better connection to log in. For some reason, you know, I didn't have. So, kindly excuse me if my voice, the quality of the sound was not okay. And also, the initial snack delay for joining in the call. Thanks to Lasini Mataji to patch me into this call. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Charitamrita Ki Jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Dandavat Sal Zoris to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much again for coming. And I'm so sorry I had so much problem connecting you. Thank you so much for being there with us. I thought this was such an important verse, and I really didn't want to miss this class. So it was really, really beautiful. Thank you for your very nice realizations about the forms of the Lord. It was very nice, Prabhu. Thank you again. I would like, if everyone else can hear, please go ahead if you have any questions or comments for Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for a very nice class. And please don't apologize. We could hear you pretty well just in the beginning. So thank you very much. I really liked your point about spiritual, taking out Srila Prabhupada's instructions becomes a ritual. And also I appreciated that understanding of how Krishna is impartially partial and partially impartial. I was wondering how you were going to explain that, but I like the way you say that the opportunity is given to everybody, you know, so that's how it's impartial, but it's our choice, you know, that we have the choice, we decide if we want to take that opportunity or not. So it just reminded me of Prabhu's class yesterday when he spoke about how it's not only our upbringing and our genes or genetic makeup that makes up a person, but it's his association, and that is where our free will comes in. So kind of tied in with his class also. So I appreciate very much your effort and your class. Thank you, Hari Bol.
Thank you so much for your kind words, but, you know, all questions are open. Anybody else has any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. As usual, your class is always instructive and enlightening. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the beautiful class. I really love the point where you mentioned that we are not letting go of Maya, and it's not like Krishna is not giving mercy. We are not ready to welcome it. Thank you so much for the class, Prabhu.
Actually, I had this realization when I was, you know, coming in the bus yesterday. Me and my wife are here in South India for, you know, for visiting our family, plus also some spiritual events. So when I was coming, you know, this is a very popular Tamil song. Okay, this I used to know the song from my childhood days, and somebody sang that song, and because I knew this, I got into it. Then suddenly I was thinking and reflecting on the meaning of the song. How the song is telling the boy, oh Krishna, why are you not giving your mercy to me? Oh Krishna, why are you not revealing yourself to me? Oh Krishna, why are you not, you know, kind to me? Then I thought, oh my God, is it true that Krishna is not revealing himself? Oh really, is Krishna is not doing his mercy? He is ready. He is giving all the time. There is never once Krishna's transmission of mercy was stopped. It is like a mobile signal. If mobile signal transmitting is constantly on, just because we don't have a proper receiver, just because we don't have a proper SIM card and hooking up to that, you know, signal is not, done, we are not able to receive the signal. Otherwise, there is no problem with the transmission. We have to fine-tune the receiver only. So I thought, how stupid. Sometimes we think about the song, cry and stand in front of the Lord. Probably I was just, you know, smiling to myself. But I think Krishna will be smiling, oh my God, what a stupid you are. I am ready to give myself to you. It is you who don't have a mobile phone. It is like without a mobile phone, we're going and telling everybody, oh, you know what, I don't get signal at my home. You know what, I can't speak. So, practically speaking, the problem is with us. And that is a journey in our spiritual life where we need to come to that understanding that problem starts with us and problem should end with us. Nowhere else the problem is. Krishna consciousness is not about changing our environment. Krishna consciousness is about choosing a right environment. Krishna consciousness is not about changing others. Krishna consciousness is about changing ourselves. Krishna consciousness is not about blaming why Krishna is not merciful. Krishna consciousness is about how He is so kind in spite of our repeated mistakes. He is ready to travel with us as Paramatma. Whether we are a worm in the stool, whether we are a cockroach in somebody's house, He is sitting as Paramatma to help us. So it is only the bugs to be fixed on our end, not anybody else's end. So it was just a thought, but then incidentally when I was reading through this verse today, I thought that how will I explain this swamsa and you know, so many different technical aspects of Krishna's expansion. We can get into the real core technical because this, if you go to the third part and fourth part of Nectar of Devotion, so many such wonderful activities of Krishna's expansions are explained. But then I thought, you know, I'm sure there are going to be more advanced speakers who can speak on that. So I just thought, you know, maybe some common sense aspect of it, which we all know, but I thought for my own purification, I'll reiterate on them. So that's why, just in case it's some of you must have expected some other technicalities towards this expansions of Krishna.
Not at all, Prabhu. It was so nice. It was very, very nice. It was a very realization-filled class. Thank you, Prabhu. I think this is very important.
Hare
Krishna, Prabhuji, Kuti Kuti Dandavat Pranam to your Seva, Hari Bol Gopinath Ki Jai Ho. Deities are always ready in any condition. They are ready to serve the Vaishnava. Jai Ho Gopinath Ki Dandavat Prabhu.
Mataji. Okay, Prabhu, thank you all so much again. Thank you all the devotees for waiting so patiently and in such an interactive session. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much, Prabhu. In spite of so much difficulty, as Vrinda Gopika Mataji was saying, you really made it a point to do your service. That's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Vancha Kalpati.